What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Saturday, April 6th, 2024 edition of the Daily Energy Newsbeat Stand Up. It is our weekly recap. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Man, it's been a long week. It's been a crazy week. OPEC met. We also saw a lot of AI stuff going on. I mean, just a busy week, Stu.
Oh, it was.
That's your little money thing. We absolutely love it.
Yeah, and the whole staff did a great job.
Yep. Staff always does a great job. Great interview release. Check out the interview we did with JT on the podcast yesterday, guys. We just ran that. So please, let's take a look at that. You can find that in the description below, and always check out all the links to the articles that we're about to cover in the weekly recap. Again, energynewsbeat.com. I'm going to give it up to the team, though. Let's see what's up first.
Mounting losses mean Sweden's wind industry faces total financial collapse. I'll tell you, this one is pretty amazing. When you sit back and take a look, the total loss for the years 2017 through 2022 amounted to $13.5 billion just in losses in the Swedish krona, which is $1.2 billion in US, 13.5 billion Swedish krona, 1.2 billion in euros, which is a net loss margin of 39%. You can't operate a business for that long by any stretch of the imagination for being 39% of negative money. Since the economist's initial findings, Sweden's largest wind farm installation of 179 turbines is now facing bankruptcy with millions of krona in debt. Unbelievable. The losses are simply because the industry cannot produce electricity at a cost below market price, despite extensive subsidies. This would put any other industry out of business. If this was not mandated by government and the force to quote unquote renewable energy, no, this is not market friendly at all. And when you take a look at the fact that these wind turbines are not recyclable, this is really devastating for the economy and the environment. Let me know what you think. Let us know, share in the comment sections. Let us know, reach out to us if you see this trend happening around the world as we are. Solar panel waste to reach crisis levels in the next 2 to 3 years, and Australian experts warn. A 12-year industry roadmap has been unveiled to address the rising amount of solar panel waste headed up for the trip. The solar panel is quickly approaching its tipping point. I'll tell you what, it already has. The amount of waste that they are, solar panels are not recyclable. They are filled with hazardous materials, and they are being improperly disposed and just put in land waste or put on ships and shipped to other countries. So the energy hypocrisy of the United States needs to not buy solar panels from child abused systems, or wait until we can actually use solar panels that can be recycled. This is critical. How about the 3,300 acres of Texas wind farm solar panels that just got destroyed in a hailstorm? Those are now full headed to a landfill, and all of those 3,300 acres are not even usable until reclamation can happen. Here is a quote. If we get this right, we can close this loop in a way that will underpin the Australian life for generations with the recovery and recycling of these precious minerals and rare earth inside discarded end of life panels. I applaud this. Let's take a look at it. The federal government announced Friday in a $1 billion funding boost aimed at increasing the number of Australian made solar panels, which may increase the number of solar panels designed in a manner that makes recycling easier. Currently, 90% of the Australia panels used in Australia are imported from China. Okay, you take a look at the $1 billion fund that they are going to be using. It is not going to be technologically, this is again not solving the problem. Building solar panels that from materials that can be recycled is critical. And then being able to sustain power at market rates is unbelievably critical. So keep an eye on this. But again, the only thing that we've seen from the renewable industry is the wealth distribution and transfer of wealth. This has not been anything other than taxing and then taxing from the taxpayers and going to the rich. And that's all this has been. And this may be something similar. I am all in on solar if it can be recycled. And hopefully we're going to follow this to see if it does happen. BlackRock hit with cease and desist after allegedly misleading investors about ESG practices. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. The subheadline is the cease and desist order was issued by Mississippi Secretary of State Michael Watson. Michael, quote, BlackRock made untrue statements of certain to its fund do not incorporate ESG considerations as detailed extensively in this order. BlackRock stated on multiple occasions, either explicitly through publications or by action, the company does in fact incorporate ESG considerations in its non-ESG funds. I think this is absolutely hysterical. Yep. That ESG investing hypocrisy is coming from the folks that are yelling about investing in green and trying to kill the fossil fuel industry. I just thought it was really pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, we love a good energy hypocrisy. I love the fact that it's completely now turned on its head. They were so far down the ESG rabbit hole, and now they're getting a cease and desist letter to stop. I think this is more of a show of, hey, we don't like BlackRock. Will this go anywhere? Will there maybe be some fines?
Well, there's about 13 other states that have their states that are bailing out $8 billion. Last week, you and I covered out of Texas, you know, giving them the double barrel finger. And then notably, BlackRock just recently withdrew from the Climate Action 100 Alliance. You and I talked about, when is investor hypocrisy going to hit a all-time, hey, we need our money back here. I think we finally are finding out what that mark is.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Good news and bad news for Pennsylvania. I'm full of good news. I'm a cheery kind of guy today. Electricity includes reduced CO2 emissions, but higher costs for residents. Here's the subtitle. According to a PECO report, in Pennsylvania, reduced its carbon dioxide emissions by 10%, the largest year-on-year decline since 1990. But the cost of cents per kilowatt hour is higher than the national average. Rut-row. Now, here's where some stats come in. Pennsylvania is still highly dependent on natural gas, a fossil fuel, for 59% of its electrical generation, more than the U.S. Average.
It should be 100%. You're literally in the heart of the Appalachia Basin. Why is it not 100?
And they want to know why they only get 3.7% other than fossil fuels or nuclear.
It's brutal.
The only reason they reduced their CO2 is because of reducing coal plants.
Yeah.
PECO, which operates electric services to 1.7 million customers within Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, Philadelphia, and York counties, is the largest electricity provider, and it's 45th in country in terms of renewables.
but also, there's this quote in here from Thomas Schuster. The only thing preventing PECO from supplying more affordable solar energy to its customers is the antiquated procurement process.
But yes.
So you're telling me it's an old procurement process that's slowing us from affordable. That's crazy to think about. We know solar doesn't pay off. Layer in an antiquated, procurement process, they're in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Cost of electrifying commercial truck fleet is $1 trillion. This doesn't even include the trucks. Listen to this article. You can't buy this kind of entertainment. The charging infrastructure will cost $620 billion, according to a new survey from Clean Freight Coalition. That's not any of the other stuff. That's not the updates to the grid. That's nothing. I mean, that is just absolutely almost nothing. The study forecast infrastructure build out for the electrification of medium and heavy duty commercial vehicles, exposing what the CFC calls a massive investment gap.
Massive investment gap.
Huh. Okay.
I think it's interesting. And, I love this point down here. For example, diesel trucks, again, you have to replace these trucks too. So it's $1 trillion on everything but the truck. Class 8 diesel costs about $180,000 compared to the battery truck, which is well over $400,000.
Exactly. So now the Porculus bill, or the Inflation Reduction Act, they spent $7 billion and got two or three in chargers installed. How in the world are you going to charge these bad dog trucks? You're going to have a boatload of batteries and you're not going to be able to charge them. This is absolutely hilarious. The study found that while medium duty vehicles will face fewer roadblocks, economic and operational constraints make electrification very challenging for the heavy duty segment. I think it just means to be electrification is tough across the board.
Oh, it is tough. I mean, I could have told you that before we started this segment.
Oh, yeah. I just thought it was really pretty funny. There's a couple there in a statement. Also, is clear that an industry with a yearly turnover of about $800 billion and a profit margin of around 5% cannot invest $620 without financial support in order to get it done. Really? Wow. This is like Oklahoma State kind of math here. Wow.
No kidding.
Buttigieg rejects critics of EV future, like people in the 2000s saying we would have landlines forever. I want to just give him a little bit. Hey, Mr. Buttigieg, if you are listening to this podcast, I would love to have you come on this podcast. I got a few questions for you. And when we sit back, I'm old enough to know, I know Moses personally, but B,
you're old enough to, you go back a ways.
Yes, I do. Me and Moses are buddies. And when we sit back and take a look at whether or not, when did landlines come around? It was because of the market, adoption, and technology. And so it was, I remember having a line, phone line, and it was a party line. And everybody big piles in, can I do this? And your neighbor up the hill was a psychopath, and you didn't know what was going on. Let's get back to this story. When America Reports anchor Sandra Smith reported on cuts to the workforce for the Ford 150 Lightning in Dearborn, one third of the workers will remain. Big boys, all of the big boys are cutting out their Ford, their GM, and the union folks didn't do it. Biden killed union jump. What a chowderhead. Tesla is facing more competition as GM and Ford and Stellantis and other competitive players start to make the piece of the EV market. I agree with you, Michael. I don't see Tesla losing out because people are going to buy a Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely way to go, Tesla. Love me some Tesla.
Well, I think what he says is, in the wake of declining Tesla sales, this is his quote. Let's be clear. The automotive sector is moving towards EVs and we can't pretend otherwise. I don't know if the overall are Teslas gaining market share. Yes. Are EVs? Not as much as you would think. I think that's, you know, interesting. I love the, you know, we love the landline comment, but I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Buttigieg's got no clue what's going on.
No. And I want to, Miss Producer, if you could pull up this Tesla, I want me a Tesla Cybertruck. I want me a siren. It is bulletproof. I need me a bulletproof car.
Except right here, look, it's going through the water. It can't work.
Beep, 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 beep. You know, you don't know. This is kind of like Biden when he's doing a speech. You know.
Okay.